Welcome to the Sporting Spotlight on Dublin City FM with myself, Breffni Early. This week, once again, we are joined by ultra runner and adventure racer. Is that fair to say, Jerry? Jerry Duffy, a Westmeath man, has come back in to talk to us. We chatted last week about some of his early life and his build-up to his 32 marathon challenge. We're going to get a bit more in-depth this week. Jerry, welcome back.
Thanks indeed, and great to be back again. Thanks for having me.
Coming on from the 32 marathons, that's done, dusted, in the locker, can't be taken away. Ridiculous amount of money collected for a fantastic charity. You had another brainwave and you decided, you know what, that's just not enough, I want another challenge. And you picked what is the subject of your new book, which is TikTok 10. It's in bookshops this week. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on it. I have it in my hands now, but I haven't had a chance to read it. It promises to be fantastic. It's about your challenge, your next challenge, which was participate in the Deca Enduroman. Now, for our listeners, maybe just tell us what the Deca Enduroman is.
What happened briefly was at the end of, we finished that event in August of 2010, and for a couple of months I reflected on it, and I just felt utter relief that we'd managed to pull it off, because it was a huge ambition, and I was glad to get off that for a couple of months, the whole mental part of that for a couple of months. But around October, I went and did a Dublin Marathon in October, and I got really fit for that again. I hadn't lost the fitness because it was such a short period of time. But I started to do some research. I wanted something, because I was still passionate about this, I wanted something that was harder. I did some research. I realised I didn't have 5 weeks to devote. Like the 30 marts was, I was gone for 5 weeks, and I work for myself, so I have to be very conscious of these things. But I wanted something that was more challenging, but shorter. So physically longer each day, but a shorter duration rather than 32 days. So I did some research on the internet, and I found an event called a Deca Iron Distance Triathlon, which by its very definition, I suppose, is a 10-day event. It's the equivalent of an Iron Distance Triathlon each day. So every day we...
Now put that into context for us, okay? You spoke about going from swimming from Dublin to various places. How far are we talking in Deca Ironman?
The collective distance over the event was you had to swim the equivalent distance. And I guess, and this is what I love to share, if you go back only 7 years before this, my first triathlon was a 15-man swim. But this event, the swim distance was the equivalent of swimming from the city centre in Dublin to Drogheda, County Louth. So that's roughly 24 miles. The run distance is from exactly almost to the mile from Belfast down to Cork, and which is 262 miles. And the cycle that we had to do was, and I've actually checked this out, as the crow flies, literally from the runway at Dublin Airport to the runway at Malaga Airport in the south of Spain, which is 1160 miles. I think it's actually 1159, the truth be told, but maybe that's to one, the short end of the runway. But
there was a argument. When we're talking about those kind of figures, one or two is not going to be a major issue.
Yeah, but that's the collective distances that were involved. And it was broken down each day into a 2.4-mile swim, a 116-mile cycle, and a full marathon at the end of each day as well. So that was the event that I signed up for. It. I started to get my head around it in the early winter of 2010, and signed up for it, and then trained for 8 months for it, and got to the start line on the first week in June of 2011.
The difference between this and the 32 marathons was this was a race. This was competitive. You were again not just against yourself and your own body, but you were actually against other competitors. How many people started the event?
There was 20 people started the event. And here's the thing, you know, my ambition in going to do it, and I think it's possibly speak for the other 19 competitors, was that we felt that if you finished it, you won it. You know, my ambition was to finish it. And my research had shown me that there was more people had been in space than had done one of these events. And so very...
That's a phenomenal statistic.
Yes, it's a very small number of people that have done it. And so I figured, you know, I didn't even know going over there if I was going to finish. And that's the honest truth. I knew I trained to absolute the limit of what I needed to. And I'd even gone beyond my original plan. But obviously injury was, you know, you can't legislate for that. Well, you can to some degree, but sometimes luck will play a part in that. But starting the event, my one and only ambition was to finish it. I'm being very honest on that. It turned out differently. But yeah, on the first day, there was 20 competitors, including myself. 20 competitors got into the lake on the first morning. And the clock started at 6 o'clock that on the 3rd of June 2011, and technically speaking, it wouldn't stop for another 10 days after that.
Wow. At the end of the 10-day period, there was only three of you left standing, and you had finished the course in the quickest time by a considerable distance, almost a day in the difference.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was a hugely challenging event. I suppose the best way to tangibly quantify it is if the 32 marathons was an... I think I worked out my average time was roughly about 4 hours and 10 minutes over the 32 days, roughly. This was an average of 16 hours a day. So it was, they were incredibly long days. And
how do you sleep and eat?
There was three options for accommodation. There was lodges. It was in an activity centre, a 60-acre activity centre. And it was all in loops. The swim was in a small lake where you did 13 laps every day. The cycle was 11.6 miles on open roads that we did 10 times a day. And then the marathon was a 1 mile loop that we did 26 times a day through a forest. And so there was three slept in a sleeping bag. Compared to some, I was in luxury accommodation. We hired a camper. So I slept in a camper. Some people had lodges and other people slept in tents. After one day, four people already dropped out after a day. But as you say, go forward 9 days later, and certainly some incredible things happen in the interim, you know, with different obstacles that you meet along the way, huge things. That, thankfully, looking back now, one of my favourite quotes is from an American educator in the 19th century called Hamilton Holt, and he said, nothing worthwhile comes easy. And we had some massive obstacles thrown at us during the event, and looking back now, I'm so glad they did, because it really makes it worthwhile. But on the last morning, as you say, there was only three of us left. And we still had one more day to go. And ironically, that was the day that the storm came. We got this incredible storm thrown at us on the last day. And there was a single event on the same day. And there was 30 competitors started a single iron distance that day. And only 17 of them finished it. So 13 didn't finish the single day. So to give you an idea of the kind of conditions that were thrown at us. But I guess we were so far into the event at that stage. The only thing that would have stopped us was injury, and all of us did have injuries at that stage, but I guess we did manage to get there, and I was lucky enough to finish a little bit ahead of the other two chaps, but we all finished it, and we're all, I guess, winners in that context. But I also believe that even to have the ambition to start an event like that, you know, some people, it was the luck of the draw, they just picked up injuries. So I think anybody even that has the ambition to start it is a winner.
Anybody who starts a marathon or an Ironman or a deck Ironman or even just their club 5K or 10K in the local parish at home, everything is relative. You mentioned that earlier in the interview. The feeling coming up to the finish line, whether it's their first 5K or 10K or marathon or a deck Ironman, I'm pretty sure it's the same feeling of that kind of exhilaration for the last 100 or 200 yards trying to get across that line. How does that work for you at the level you're at?
Well, what happened was I hugely doubted my ability on two occasions over the 10 days. The first one was the first 3 days I used to go into a low place in my head because so much was ahead of us. And already it was taking us, the first day took me 14 hours and 41 minutes. The last day took me a minute under 18 hours, but average of 16 hours a day. But the first 3 days, it was a mental challenge, that I guess, because just the magnitude of what still lay ahead of us, and yet we'd already done 45 hours over 3 days. But I got a couple of injuries on the seventh day. I got cellulitis, which is an infection that I got in the leg. And I also got a stress fracture on the seventh day. So on the ninth night, I was in such pain. And now it's all relative.
You make a stress fracture sound like it's a broken toenail or something.
Yeah, quite painful, I have to say. And the only cure, ironically, for stress fracture is rest, which was the only thing we couldn't do. And it arrived on the seventh day. But what I've learned is this, how we can literally embrace things, you know, and I'm not saying it's always easy, but I figured my philosophy on this was, well, you're not going to stop. So embrace the pain that it's there. And at this stage, I think 12 or 13 had dropped out. And I said, they would all love to still be in this event. So don't you dare feel sorry for yourself. But on the ninth night, I crossed the finish line, and I genuinely, at this stage, having done 2.5 marathons on a stress fracture, it was very, very sore. And I really doubted my ability. After crossing the finish line after the ninth day, I did doubt my ability, because I was fine up here, but I actually didn't think the leg would hold up to do another, what turned out to be an 18-hour day. And so I went to sleep on the ninth night, and I said, the only thing you can do tomorrow morning, and this is like 3 or 4 hours later, because this was 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be up again at 5, just do your best and if the best is good enough, it'll be good enough. And if it's not, at the end of the day, it's only a sport. It's only an ambition. It's not real life. But thankfully, I did have a favourable day the next day. And ironically, I probably had my strongest day mentally on the last day because I knew I could have a lie in the next day. So,
in the book, there's a nice story, and you had told me about it when we had the pleasure of cycling through Offaly and Westmeath earlier last year. You had a conversation with Jacinta, your other half, your better half, on the end of day 7, and she kind of brought it all home for you when you were kind of going through a rough patch at the end of the Dep Ironman.
Just for the record, my much better half. Yeah, what happened was, I think on the 7th day, I was probably 15 and a half, 16 hours. Walked back to the camper. I deliberately slept in top bunk because I wanted to stretch the muscles last thing before I got to bed and first thing in the morning, just to give them a tiny extra stretch. So I chose to sleep in the top bunk, but I went to bed. And I used to speak into a recording device. I learned this a long, long time ago. I just keep personal diaries. I go through life and with different things I do. So I used to speak into the diary for a couple of minutes and record intimate details of that event, of that day. But I rang Jacinta. I was feeling quite low because I knew I still had another 30% of this event. And it was, for me, it was just, you had to get to day 10. If I did 9, I felt I definitely wouldn't have achieved it. And feeling very sorry for myself, shattered, tired, I said, I'm going to ring Jacinta now just for a go to sleep. And, it was on the 6th night. And so I rang her and I was struggling in terms of you know, just garbling and tired, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to finish this. I said, we've another 40% still to go. And she, quick as a flash, she said to me, how does your car registration finish? And I said, what are you talking about? Because I was ratty because I was just so tired and I was a little bit confused by the question. And she said, how does your car registration finish? And I said, why? And she said, just tell me. And I said, 4, 3, 2, 1. And she said, yeah. She said, see how quick you can say that. She said, say it again, and I said, 4, 3, 2, 1. She said, say it again, I said, 4, 3, 2, 1. She said, see how quickly you can say that. That's all you've left. Just tomorrow, just think, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it'll be over that quickly. And the next day, probably 5,000 times, briefly, I said, 4, 3, 2, 1 to myself, because I had 16 hours a day to amuse myself, you know, thinking about nothing. And it's amazing what you grasp onto, incredible what you grasp onto, words of encouragement or thoughts or memories or... I thought about that all day the next day, and I repeated it thousands and thousands of times just to try and harness mental energy. And then the next day I could get rid of 4, and I mean, I'd say 3, 2, 1, and I did that probably 10,000 times over the next 4 days. Then the last day it was literally just 1, and it was a wonderful mental trick that I have to give total credit to Jacinta for. There was a few other ones as well, but that was one of the nuggets. It definitely, such a simple thing, but it became a focus. And if you have something to focus on, it takes away the other distractions of feeling sorry for yourself or pain or whatever. Yeah, and it's a great learning.
Moving on from the events of that are detailed in the book TikTok 10, which is an absolute must read. I've read the Who Dares Runs at least 3 times from cover to cover. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on this one. But you've become a motivational speaker and you've inspired people across the country from all walks of life, both involved in sport and those who would have had no interest in sport, to actually get involved, buy a pair of runners and get out and do a bit of physical activity. I don't think people like Eamon Sheehan, for example, who would have done his first half or a full marathon with you, is now doing similar wonderful things to yourself. There's a lot of people like that. You're working with inter-county GAA teams in terms of their mental preparation. That's what you focus on, is mental toughness, mental fitness?
Yeah, what I I've been very fortunate to something that started just a part-time thing 3 or 4 years ago, speaking to small groups, running clubs and that kind of thing, has now become my business, which is, like, generally speaking, in the corporate arena, in companies and that kind of thing, and as you say, schools some county teams, GA teams and that kind of thing, and one in particular that I work with on an ongoing basis. But
well, you better name check them, seeing as it's my own county.
Leitrim. So wonderful,
so
bunch of guys.
You're to blame for the FBD League success early in the year.
Wonderful, I have to say, great bunch of guys, and they worked unbelievably hard and they set their goals out and they focused on their goals and they achieved a wonderful goal in January. So all credit to them, and a great management system there as well. So we're in the very early stages of please God, yielding success. And I firmly believe that there's no secrets to it. It's if you apply very basic principles, and bring a focus and a commitment to things, I think we can astound ourselves what we're capable of achieving. And the DECA, or the 32 marathons, in my opinion, is a metaphor for a standard that any human being is capable of achieving. Or maybe for other people, if they were pitching this idea, it's a marathon, you know. So they're just metaphors for what I think people are capable of achieving. And what I love to share is my secrets to how to achieve goals is to apply very basic principles. And one of them is to surround yourself with great people. But yeah, I've been very lucky to do that.
So the book hit the shops this week. Congratulations, second book. The first one was an absolute bestseller. A bit of a slow grower, but once it stayed in the bestseller list for ages. You hoping for more of the same?
Hopefully. The one thing, you know, the event is almost 2 years ago now, but I started writing this about 6 months after the DECA. I was able to retrieve great detail because of the audio that I'd done. And I said to myself, you know, I just want to give it a very detailed account of the event, and not just to share my experience, but what I've done is I've gone and I've interviewed five other competitors and the organisers and the doctor that was involved as well. So I've got an insight from eight or nine different perspectives of different experiences, different motivations for being involved or for doing the event. And so I've told a lot of different stories in the book about other people's motivation for being there. And it took me, what was it, from January of 2012 to literally now, it literally finished 3 weeks ago, of writing. And I thought, you know, in August I was getting near the end of the first draft. And yet since August I've been a minimum of 20 hours on it every week, so I was far from finished.
I know, because we spoke about it last September, where it was a couple of weeks from being finalised, and here it is now. It's going to be a fantastic read. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It's already in the shops. People should run out and buy it as soon as they can. And if you're going to buy it, you may as well stop in the sports shop on the way home and pick up a new pair of runners as well. It's going to get people out running. And my guest this week, once again in the sporting spotlight, was Gerry Duffy. Gerry, thank you very much for coming in to us. It's been fantastic to have you over the last 2 weeks. You know, we let you pick the music that we're leaving the show with. You've picked a second song for us.
Have indeed, and listeners last week mightn't have known the artist, but this week they definitely will. M People, it's an old song, it's probably 15 years old, but it's definitely a personal favourite of mine, and it just I just love listening. I don't normally listen to lyrics and songs, and I know most people do, but I listen more for the air than the lyrics. But this one, I just hang on the lyrics, and it's called Search for the Hero.
So again, my guest this week in the Sporting Spotlight was ultra runner Gerry Duffy, survivor of such thing as the 32 Marathon Challenge and the DECA Enduroman Champion of 2011. Fantastic having him in and listening to his story. His book, TikTok 10, is in all good bookshops now. I highly suggest you get out and get a copy of it for yourself. It's a fantastic picture of Gerry on the front as well. He has picked the music that's going to be playing us out this week, and it is Search for the Hero by M People. In this life,
let me in. Shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionary sway. For my head on a silver plate, just a puppet on a lonely string. Oh, who would ever want to be king? I hear Jerusalem bells ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield, my missionary. That was when I